Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and every Wednesday at noon you can hear American Tennis on the UR Tennis Network. That's the letter U, the letter R, the number 10 and S. And we'd like to thank Jason Haynes always for his efforts with the UR Tennis Network. He has a show, folks, in another hour after my show on American College Tennis. And every Monday, Lisa Stone brings you Parenting Aces at noontime. You can also go to Blog Talk Radio for other tennis shows. The We Coach Tennis program with J.P. Weber is every Tuesday at noon. And that's on the Yellow Ball Network, if you can believe it. This is actually the Yellow Ball Network with J.P. Weber and the We Coach Tennis. But today, American Tennis, we have another exciting show for you. We're going to talk today about small town tennis USA and probably give one of the best descriptions of what small town tennis USA is all about and what we're trying to do on the UR Tennis Network. You can call in if you want to be a guest or just to talk to our guest and ask questions at area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853 to talk. Go to chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E.net, and you can get every American tennis program that we've had it over the past 2 years, nearly 100 of them. We've interviewed so many tennis people around the country and around the world. T3mentorship.com, you can get some of my videos and some other things, but really, chuckcreasy.net is the place you ought to go. I've got my summer camps there, my books, my blog that I'm writing, and you can sort of keep up with what we're trying to do as far as the other shows are concerned. Every week, we remind you that our mission on American Tennis is for you to stand up and to speak out. And let's get to the heart of things. Let's just not talk cliches and facts. Let's go opinions, feelings, and needs, deeper things, and let's try to help American tennis in every way and any way we can. Edmund Burke said that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. We need people who are into trenches to do things with that person right in front of them. your circle of influence is that one person right in front of you. We might, our circle of concern might be the whole world, but it's that person right in front of us. No better description could I do to start out the show today is talk about the circle of influence and that one person in front of you is to introduce our guest today, and that's Miss Barbara Jones. And I know she, this is you, Barbara. You're on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Coach Creasy.
Hi, Barbara. It is wonderful to have you on the show today. And we've been talking about Small Town Tennis USA. And I'm going to just tell folks a little bit about what I know that you have done. And then I'm going to let you fill in the gaps, Barbara. But, folks, Barbara Jones, I just met her for the first time. I drove over the other day, and I'm hoping it's just the start of a long relationship. But since the time I moved to Charleston, at PTR, Dan Santorum says, you've got to go up to St. George, South Carolina. Something's happening up there. And I saw Steve Zielinski, who is there with he's with South Carolina Tennis. He says, have you been up to St. George? They've got some stuff happening there. It's very unique. So I finally rode up to St. George, South Carolina, and I met Barbara Jones. And Barbara, I am just excited because we've been covering each week. We do different topics, but lately we've been talking about Small Town Tennis USA. And talk just a little bit about where are you, where's St. George, South Carolina, and can you give a little bit about the demographics of the whole situation there, and then we're going to talk about what you have done and piece together some great directions for people to go forward in Small Town Tennis USA if they want to do this. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. Well, St. George, well, thank you, first of all, for allowing me to be on the show. St. George is located in the low country of South Carolina, midway between Columbia, its capital, and the city of Charleston. The stats, as I remember them from some of my grant writing, the population is about 2,000, and the racial breakdown is Caucasian about 52%, African Americans about 45%, and then others a little less than 2%. The income is quite low. The annual income for about, oh, I'd say about 35% of the people is between $10,000 and $25,000 annually, and about 25% of the people have a higher income of $40,000 to $60,000 annually. Excuse me. There are two public schools in St. George and one private school, and the school district is in Dorchester County School District 4. And the breakdown in the school is a little bit different from the town. The education breakdown, you have African-Americans in the public schools about 85% and Caucasians in the public school about 10%. And those children, 90% of them are receiving reduced or free lunch. So it is a Title I school. This lends us to the fact that the parents don't have the means, financial means, to offer their children many of the extra curricular activities that they so deserve. So bringing tennis into the town has just been a marvelous, marvelous opportunity for the children. And a little bit about myself, I'm not native to St. George. Both my parents were born in St. George. But we were all born and raised in urban New York City. In fact, I grew up in Harlem, USA, in big urban New York City. And because of where I lived and the fact that we were working poor, living in the ghetto, people thought of myself and the other children in my community as throwaway children, children that wouldn't succeed because we wouldn't have the resources to do so. But we beat the odds, and the reason I beat the odds is because I had so many dedicated people, and I get very passionate about this, who cared, who didn't say, why isn't someone doing something, but they were the ones who did something, and made me feel special, made me know that I could do anything that I wanted to do with hard work and support, and they gave me that support. So I felt that I needed to give this support for the young people in our community. And just looking at those tennis courts that existed back in the end of 2008 when I started really looking at them and wondering why hadn't they been maintained and who owned the property and what was going on. And they were directly across the street, or they are directly across the street from the middle school, and you have a few hundred children in that middle school, and they're not able to avail themselves of the tennis court because they were definitely in disrepair. So it became a mission, so to speak, for me to find out what I could do to correct this. And I thought about the mayor that I love so much back in New York, David Dinkins, who was so adamant about supporting tennis in New York and was a great advocate for the Arthur Ashe Stadium being built and the expansion to the Billie Jean King Tennis Center up there. And I reached out and made an appointment with our mayor and hoping that she would give me some of the information I needed. And she was just marvelous. In fact, she said I was a breath of fresh air to her because she was looking for community residents who wanted to volunteer. And from that point, I was able to move forward, speak with the school superintendent, finding out the property actually belonged to the school district, and having the town take on the responsibility of leasing the property from the school district and allowing us to go ahead and seek donations and support to clean the area up and make it what it is today.
Barbara, talk about that. Start just getting it started. You know, a couple things you're saying are just fantastic. First of all, we always talk about your circle of influence as that person in front of you. And I know you had a big vision of what happened to you and how important it was to help others. And you moved down to South Carolina from New York. What a culture shock to move from such 10 million people on top of each other to a town of 2,000 people where it was probably just sleepy, small town where kids weren't doing – were they doing football, basketball, baseball, other sports like that, but just no tennis?
Oh, most
or the
definitely.
End other sports?
They were doing the traditional sports, yes, most definitely. And Friday night here in St. George, a big time. You know, everyone's going out to the high school tennis games. But, I mean, I'm sorry, the high school football games. I wish that were true, that everybody was coming out to the tennis games, tennis matches. But, yeah, football's big. Basketball and soccer is right behind. But tennis was not in the vision of even the athletic director at that time. He actually said to me there were no boys who were interested in playing tennis, if you could believe that. So we've come a long way with that. But how we really got started was I spoke with the principal at the middle school about volunteering. And in addition, I had called USTA because I really didn't know where to go and how to start. And at that time, they were offering free equipment for school tennis programs, and I was able to avail myself of that, getting portable net, low compression balls and rackets. And we started in the after school program, myself and a cousin of mine, just the two of us, teaching sort of an introduction to tennis, what was called back then, quote, quick start. So we started the quick start tennis in the after school program. In addition, we wanted to bring some excitement about tennis to the town. And I knew that Family Surf Cup had their annual tournament. And back in New York, the U.S. Open always had a kids' day at the start of the tournament. So I called and found out that, yes, they had a similar program, and we got free complimentary tickets. And we took a school bus of children, approximately 40 kids, down to Family Surf Cup that April of 2009. And that generated so much excitement in the town, and it was just amazing and in school, and it was just a lot of excitement. And this is something that we wanted to do because we know if we don't partner with other organizations, it's difficult to do something on your own. You need the whole village, as they say. So we got the kids down the Family Circle Cup. Some parents went with us, the chaperones, and it was just a marvelous experience. And from that, the excitement remained. We had community cleanup day to clean up the kudzu and other weeds that were over at the court, and started to write grants and ask for donations. And we reached out to our state senator, Senator Matthews, and our representative, state representative Patsy Knight, and our town and our county representatives, just telling them how important it was for us to have tennis in our community. We had the location, and why we chose that location, there were two courts that weren't just repaired, but they were there, and we could have them resurfaced, and there was potential for expansion. There was property there that we could expand, which we did because we went from two courts to seven. And we put ads in the paper to get volunteers to come out.
Well, you know, I was there. I mean, what a beautiful seven-court complex you have now with all of the teaching tools that you need. And when you pull up, it's just a very wholesome, clean, inviting environment for any youngster, any parent to leave their children there. But starting out, what I'm curious about, I guess, was that when you got there, when you moved down to South Carolina, how long before you just decide, I've got to do something to stimulate some interest here? And then did you write up a plan, or did you just sort of say, who's in the know and I want this to happen? Did you write up a plan, or what? How did you go about the 1, 2, 3 steps?
Well, yes, I did write up a plan. Initially, of course, it was my dream, but then I wrote up a plan as to who did I need to be involved to help me. And the St. George Rotary Club was excellent in coming out and giving us the help from the start. We needed to clean the area up because it had been known for crime, and that we had to get beyond because the town council was very upset about even thinking to put more money in the area. They said vandalism would definitely be at the top of the list. But we knew if we cleaned the area up and had police presence and made it a place where people wanted to come, things would change. So that was number one in the plan, to clean the area up, even before we had money to do anything else, and start the program in the middle school because we needed to make sure that people were going to buy into this. They had to, first of all, be educated as to what tennis is and how we can offer tennis and how it could be affordable for our population. So all of this had to be done at the outset to get people excited, to keep them excited and wondering what are they doing next. And then to get the partners, the Rotary Club was one. And I didn't know how to teach tennis. I had just learned to play tennis. My children had taken tennis lessons back in New York and enjoyed the sport immensely, and I saw the benefits that it was for them. But I didn't know how to teach it, and when I called USTA, that's when they explained to me about the workshop and how we as volunteers who are not tennis pros could teach the children. And that's the excitement, and that was part of the plan. That was the next step of the plan. And then getting the equipment to work with the children, getting ads in the local newspaper for people to come out and volunteer, going to the PTA meeting and speaking with the body of the PTA and their offices, telling them what we were doing and how important it was, going to the churches and speaking to people at the churches, letting them know what we were doing. Just every opportunity we had to speak to people.
Well, Barbara, there's a saying that one person with passion is worth a huge majority. I think Mike Krzyzewski's book, somebody quote me if I'm wrong here, call in and tell me if I'm wrong, but they said the start of it said that a deer can never lead a herd of lions, the pack of lions, but one lion can lead a herd of deer to victory or something like that. And basically it's about one person with passion, and you've done this wonderful thing. And we've got a caller or two already on the line. Again, folks, call in 714-583-6853. But if the caller just wait a minute, I want to get one more point in there. Barbara, when the first time I met you, and this is a very, very important point, folks. This is so important about getting things done. First time I met you, I said, Barbara, I think you're the kind of person that figures out what needs to get done. You start at the top of the mountain, then you work backwards and solve the problems. Most people look for the little, we can't do this because of this and this and this and because of that. Could you speak to that? I mean, I think you agree with me, but can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, yes. If you look at the problem from the where you are, the negative, it's hard to move forward because, I tell you, the mind is a powerful thing, and you will think of all the reasons why it can't happen. And when you try to bring people along, they're going to have 10 more reasons why it's not going to work. So you have to start from the back and say, this is what we want. And I could envision, I could see it. I could see the courts being resurfaced. I could see more courts. I could see the building. We had a building there that was just two restrooms and a storage closet, and it's been expanded now. I could see that expansion, and how can we get there was then the next question, because I knew it could happen, and I had to sell people who didn't see my dream. There was nothing tangible that I could show them, but with the passion and having them see the little successes that I was making brought them along with me. Going to Family Circle Cup, seeing how much fun the kids were having, and yeah, all the questions they were asking, and just continuing to ask questions and get people to come along with you. When Rotary bought into it, the Rotary Club, that gave other businesses in the community a second look at what we were talking about. They purchased equipment for us. And this was quite exciting, having the mayor buy into it, having finally our town council seeing that maybe this would work, and actually seeing the cross-section of people that came out to help us on that first cleanup day. That's what was so exciting. We had Rotary Club members. We had Lions Club members. We had people from the low-income housing project come out. We had people who live in the more affluent community coming out. We had the teachers from the middle school. We had parents. We had the children who wanted to play. Now, they had already been to Family Circle Cup, so they were so excited. And I had one child say to me, I'll never forget it. She said, Miss Barbara, do you think that we could ever have anything here like Family Circle Cup?
Well,
I mean, it brought tears.
That's fantastic. It's beautiful to look at the world through children's eyes. We have a caller. I'm going to take a question here. Area code 912-674. Are you on the line, please? Area code 912.
Chuck, can
you
hear me?
I can. Who's this, please?
Hey, Chuck, this is Dan Vonk.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you called in, Coach Vonk, and Barbara and everybody. Coach Vonk has been on my show a couple times before. And talk about Small Town USA, Small Town Tennis USA. This is probably the king of South Georgia when it comes to getting things done in small communities. Coach Dan, I'm glad to have you on because the topic is Small Town Tennis USA today. And could you talk to Barbara, tell her a little bit about what you've done and what you're doing, and then you two go ahead here a second. Go ahead, Coach Dan.
Hey, Barbara, we're kind of a rural, sounds like we're a little bit bigger than you are. I think we've got about 50,000 people in our county, but we're kind of a rural community in southeast Georgia, and I understand some of the difficulties that you have in terms of getting things started and getting community support and everything. I'm wondering if you have solicited the help of the high school program and how you're getting, schools involved in this at all, or if you've even gone that that avenue, and what and who were some of your best resources in the community to develop things when you just don't have that much there?
Well, for us here, when I first got involved, there was a girls' high school tennis team, but there was not a boys' high school tennis team. And at that time, the athletic director it's not the current athletic director we have now. He's quite in support of tennis. But the previous athletic director, he said to me there were no boys in high school who were interested in playing tennis, and that was just amazing to hear him say something so negative. But, of course, we convinced him otherwise, and we do have a boys' high school tennis team now, and they've been in existence for 3 years now. But the other supporters that we had were the after-school program. She was the director. They was very happy to have us bring tennis in. Unfortunately, we don't have any tennis clubs. We don't have any tennis teams in the schools as of yet. But we do have a junior team tennis program for the town, and we have the girls and boys high school teams, and that's where we are right now.
That's great. Now, I'm wondering, you know, Chuck, you and I had talked before, is St. George is one of the communities that that you're going to be sending somebody to this summer. Is that not right?
We're trying to, Coach Vonk, as well as your community, and why don't you talk about Small Town Tennis USA, the program we're trying to get going, and how it sort of came together. So we're talking South Georgia. We're talking about Georgetown. We're talking about, I've thought about this for years. This is a sleeping giant, folks. 72% of all professional athletes come from towns under 50,000 people. Small Town USA is where sports matters a lot. The passion of the youngsters will go somewhere if we don't capture it with sports, and everybody cannot be captured in football, basketball, baseball. They need individual sports. They need music. They need art. They need drama. They need the things where their heart goes, folks. Their God-given ability and their desire needs to meet with opportunity. And so there's my little, I'm getting a soapbox going here, Coach Vonk and Barbara, but it's aggravating that we don't see this sleeping giant. Also, Coach Vonk, you know this, but 350,000 youngsters in USA play high school tennis, but we only have 26,000 participate in five tournaments or more, which means we have a lot of kids playing tennis, but we're not developing tennis players. You can play tennis every day of your life and never be a tennis player. You can go to school every day of your life and never be a student. You can be on a court coaching with a whistle every day, but never really be a coach. Coach Vonk, talk about Small Town Tennis USA, and we'll maybe get you and Barbara together here and come up with some great ideas and also inspire others listening to the show.
Okay, well, you know, the small town tennis concept, you and I have talked about that for years. You know, we sat down with Dan Santorum, just trying to get something going, because I think we both feel like, you know, that it is a sleeping giant, that the high school programs in the rural communities, that there's a lot of potential out there. You know, and we're trying, the small town tennis is an attempt to do an internship program with a college player that goes to a rural community and is willing to work 6 to 8 weeks out there and provide tennis opportunities and develop tennis opportunities and high-level skills with these kids in these areas that really care about tennis but just don't have access to it so much. One of the other things that we've talked about is, you know, in order for, you know, one of the biggest obstacles in rural communities is having that guy, that person who's out there, like a Barbara, who's willing to come in and put in their time and the effort and create those opportunities, take the kids to tournaments. That's one of the biggest problems in the rural areas. You don't have a lot of parents necessarily that are tennis people. And so if it's going to happen, we have to have somebody in the community that is a tennis person that knows what it takes to develop opportunities that can help get the kids to tournaments. And facilitate that passion and development that the kids have to have.
Coach Dan, people out there are listening. They're saying, okay, how can I get this going? How can I help? First of all, Barbara, do you have a way to get a hold of you where if people want to send money, send tennis equipment, ask questions, would you feel free to give a address of your training center there and maybe a website or an email?
Oh, I certainly do feel comfortable with that. Our website is stgeorge.usta.com.
That's okay, say that again now, please.
stgeorge.usta.com. And that will give you an update as to what we're doing and how we began and everything that's going on here.
stgeorge.usta.com, folks.
Correct.
And, and they can get all the information there. And Coach Vonk, what about you down there in South Georgia? How could people reach you?
They can go through the Camden County School System website if they want, and they can locate staff there. I'm at dvonk@Camden, that's C-A-M-D-E-N, .K12.GA.US. That's my email.
They better go to the Camden County website. That's one of those. I think that's one of those government things that sound like you're going to the motor vehicle branch or something there, Coach. I mean, so complex. Dan Vonk, D. Vonk. Go to Camden County, Georgia, and look up Dan Vonk, tennis coach, Camden County, Georgia. That'll get you folks with this. But we have a lot to cover. We've got to go to a quick commercial, and we will be right back with other callers. And this is American Tennis. Hang on for the rest of the show. This is Chuck Creasy, American Tennis. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I want to tell you about our 2014 Total Tennis Training Camps. We are now in our 38th summer at working with young people. We cover much more than forehands and backhands at Total Tennis Training Camps. The physical, the mental, and the emotional skill sets of your youngsters will be covered. Go to chuckcreasy.net. That's K-R-I-E-S-E. chuckcreasy.net. And look at the camp icon. Also, you can go to TotalTennisTraining.com for the Total Tennis Training Camps. The power of momentum is not studied anywhere in the United States except at Total Tennis Training Camp. Everybody talks about momentum of sports, and no one really has a system of how to control it. We have 8 simple rules that your youngsters or a coach can learn about the power of momentum. Total Tennis Training Camps at chuckcreasy.net, and we'll see you this summer in South Carolina or in the Atlanta area as well. Make them in America. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, American Tennis. I have Small Town Tennis USA is the feature today, and we have Barbara Jones, town of 2,000 people in St. George, South Carolina, doing a fantastic job. And what might happen from here? Will the next Wimbledon champion come out of here, the next NCAA champion? Barbara, what's the future here? I know the future. The thing that's beautiful about children is that children believe when you say you can go to the moon. When you tell the child one day this could be you, they believe it. And once they see someone else do it and they have a role model, they say, I can do that. And as adults, we get jaded. We get sort of dumbed down into our own pecking order and things. But with your children, what's next? What do you need to keep their dreams and hopes alive?
Well, right now, the volunteers who've gone through these workshops, we've taught them just about all that we can. And we need an opportunity for player development. And that's what we need. We need some professional instructors to come out and teach us those intangibles that we aren't able to teach the kids because we're not aware of what they are right now. We are very fortunate to have a gentleman, Stan Seabrook, who works out at KC in the Columbia area, and he has come down a few times to work with our kids, give them a clinic. But that's what we're looking for right now is play development, because I would like our children to participate in tournaments, and they need more training in order to do that. They have participated in the South Carolina State Junior Team Tennis Championships twice now, July of 2013 and July of 2012. So we want that to continue, but we also want them individually to participate in tournaments. And the kids are so excited, and I don't want them to lose the enthusiasm because they're playing each other, and they want more competition, and particularly the old ones. So we have a group of about 15 kids between the ages of 15 and 18, and half of them are ready. They are ready to go. They're ready to play in tournaments.
Coach Vonk still on the line here. Coach Vonk, I wanted to ask you, but, you know, you probably are a few years advanced from what Barbara's done. You've done a similar type thing with your high school setting in Kingsland, Georgia. But where do you hit a ceiling at, Coach? What keeps the kids from going forward? Do they get to a certain place and then they say, hey, listen, too much pain, not enough gain, I don't know, and they sort of lose their drive? What are the stumbling blocks, Coach, that we have to overcome?
Well, you know, I think one of it is, you know, one thing is the access to a higher level of competition, like Barbara alluded to. You know, they have to play one another. They get bored with that. You basically, you know, the travel that it takes and the amount of money that it takes to play in the USTA tournaments, and, you know, you've got to have a parent or somebody that's willing to drive them to tournaments and pay for the costs and stuff like that. So definitely financial and just time are big stumbling blocks for us. You know, the parents that I have that are gung-ho and everything express frustration and the lack of tournaments in the area and just how much time and money it takes to provide those opportunities for their kids. You know, I don't know what the answer is there.
Well, you know, I'm going to jump in there a second. Barb, you can speak to this. You know, the movie Field of Dreams, they say build it and they will come. Is it Field of Dreams we're talking about? Was that
yes.
right, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, Field
yes.
of Dreams, build it and
You're
they
right.
will come. What we've done in former years, and this is a critical point, is that if you had a group of kids coming up in Shelby, North Carolina, by the way, I always use that because that was a hub of tennis back in the 60s and 70s, mainly because of the one man, Buck Archer, who had multiple kids. Tim Wilkerson came out of that, Andy Wilkerson, Jim Korn, who played at North Carolina, and on and on and on. It was a small town setting where tennis became big. But they built it, and then kids started hearing about Shelby, North Carolina, and then actually it was a magnet for all the kids in North Carolina, South Carolina. I want to be like Shelby, North Carolina. I want to go there. The academy situation started in Florida, And my problem with the Academy is that it started picking the ripest fruit from the best vines, like the kids, the best youngster in your program, Barbara, would get recruited to a place in Florida, to an academy, and your role model then was gone. So, you know, I'm thinking the key might be here to build it and they will come. But, Dan, explain the problems with that about the regulation, over-regulation from the USTA from the top down, where they delegate or regulate you to an L4, L5 or something like that. Explain that, and then Barbara can jump in there too.
Yeah, well, that's true too as far as from the USDA standpoint. You know, my kids, you know, you have to have success in order to qualify for the higher level tournaments and to get the to be able to host the higher level tournament. So it's tough for my kids to get qualified for some of those higher competitions and everything. You know, the other thing that relates to that as far as build it and they will come, problem that I think we have in the rural communities, and you and I have talked about this, I'm a high school teacher. I've got a full-time job, and so everything that I do is after school or on the weekends. I just don't have that much time. And in terms of community support, you've got to have people in the community that are willing to, one, build a facility for you, and then, you know, hopefully staff it with somebody who is the tennis guy. And so that, you know, that's a tough thing as far as if you build it, they will come. I agree with you. They will, but you have to have a lot of support there in order to get it built and then to staff it properly and have somebody willing to host tournaments and do some of that other stuff. That's just a big
right.
obstacle for us.
You know,
well,
they did this for
you on that because we have the building. And the only staff we have are our volunteers. And as you said, you're working, so you can only come in evenings. And that's with most of my parents. They're working. They can only come in the evening. And then there's only so much time they can volunteer. I'm retired. I have that, you know, luxury. But to get the building staff every day, you need the community support. You need the town council to say that that's a position we would like to pay for. And I see it as such a plus because the children would then be able to utilize the courts after school. If I can't keep it open buildings, they can't use the restroom. They can't feel safe. You know, we want it to be a safe zone for them. So we need staff in that building at least 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, so that the children feel that comfort and they know and the parents know. If my kid goes there, there's adult supervision. I don't have to feel that something might happen right. to my child. So that we have that problem getting that kind of financial support.
Barbara, are regulations a problem too? I mean, you mentioned to me, I mean, just the things that you had to do according to code, even in refurbishing that old dilapidated place that you showed me pictures of. Have regulations sort of gotten in the way of you creating some energy there as well?
It did because finances, you know, we have a very, very tight budget. And trying to meet the requirements that the building code put upon us was unbelievable. And then when you look at some of the buildings in the town, they don't have those restrictions. But here we are trying to use the small amount we had. And they're asking us to put in all these special codes.
Yeah.
So it did pretty much deplete our budget.
Absolutely. Let me take a call here. I'm going to go to area code 678 and see if the caller has a question for Barbara. Dan Vonk, we're talking Small Town Tennis USA and what we can do to help this out. Caller 678.
Hey, Coach Creasy, JP Weber here.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay, this is J.P. Weber, Barbara, with the We Coach Tennis program. Go ahead, Coach. What do you have?
Actually, you called me. I called in late, so I was listening. I was more listening at this point than I didn't have a whole lot of basis. I wanted to listen a little bit more. Possible and
get, okay, I'll come back to you, Coach. I've got another call I'm going to take here. Area code 828 Small Town Tennis USA we're discussing. Area code 828. Who's on the line, please?
Yeah, Chuck. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Chuck. This is
Mike Granato.
This is Mike Granato. How you doing?
Fine. And Barbara, Mike, go ahead. Mike is he is one of the best professors, doctors of kinesiology and of biomechanics in the country for tennis, and has made tennis players. He's been in every walk of it. So, Mike, thanks for coming on. And we got Dan Vonk and Barbara on. We're talking Small Town Tennis USA here.
Yeah, I've been listening to the trials and tribulations of them trying to, you know, improve tennis at the grassroots level, and obviously would love to applaud them for all the time and effort that they're putting in. And, you know, these are the kinds of people that really make a difference. My question to them, and to, more to you two, Chuck, and I think JP may be able to chime in on this, the USTA has got these huge coffers, and, you know, I'm almost unlimited finances from all the revenues of the U.S. Open and everything. They're going to spend in excess of $50 million building their new, quote-unquote, facility in Florida.
It's $500 million. It's not, Coach, it's Dr. Knodel. It's not $50 million. It's $500 million.
It's $500 million. They must have missed
billion.
A zero. Well, can you imagine? I mean, okay, so they, you know, they've got the Key Biscayne facility, and then they went and spent all the money on the Carson facility. And, you know, when I was on the Sports Science Committee, I was at both of those locations. And, you know, you can take a look at what's going on right now and, you know, don't see a whole lot happening. And, you know, what is this going to do? What is this $500 million facility going to do, as opposed to taking that $500 million and dropping it into you know, areas like what these folks are doing, mentorships, you know, camps, producing grassroots programs, scholarships, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm really just concerned that they're putting $500 million into another facility as opposed to dispersing this money to where I think it's going to make more of a difference. And I wanted to see what you thought about that, maybe JP and also the guest speaker that you have as well.
Yeah, Mike's got a great point. Let me jump in there a second here. There's an important point.
We got it. There's a place called Lifetime Fitness in Norcross. We got it from them.
Okay, excuse me there a minute. I had JP on there. I'm going to wait a second here. Let me jump in there real quick, guys, Dan and Barbara. The one thing we're overlooking is a price tag. Can you put a price tag on the passion that Barbara and Dan Vonk have for the game of tennis and working with young people? And if we just go in and we make it, let's say we go into 20 small towns like Georgetown and we build a great facility. Well, no, better yet, Barbara, if you left that facility, are you grooming some people that could take over with the same passion? I guess that would be my question, because without Barbara, without Dan, this doesn't happen. I don't care how much money is put to it, and that's probably what's happened, is that we're underestimating the passion that is there. Barbara, could you speak to that a second?
Well, I do have a handful of people who are very, very dedicated. And I had surgery, and I was out for about a month. And they stepped in and took care of everything. And that was something that I was so worried about. If I'm not doing it anymore, will it disappear? And that would prove that I was not a good leader. So I'm happy to say that we do have dedicated volunteers there that will carry on no matter what. They're just dedicated to make this work, and they are so passionate.
Yeah, and that's really a Dr. Knodel, that's really a critical thing, I think, is that one person with passion is volumes. And we always hear one thing I've learned working at such a fantastic place as I do right now at the Citadel: compliance is automatic. You have people's bodies. commitment, you have their mind. Inspired enthusiasm is the next level. Inspired enthusiasm, you have their heart and their soul. Enthusiasm comes from the word henthaos, the spirit of God within. And people do not understand that unless you have a vocation, a commitment to dig deeper than just the surface, unless you actually care about human beings to an extent where it matters a lot to Barbara here, that the kids are doing other things than just hanging out, waiting for life to come to them. I mean, it matters quite a lot. Dr. Knodel, any quick comments on that? And I've got some other callers I need to take here.
Yeah, Chuck, I actually agree with you on this. And, you know, instead of, you know, we've talked a lot about the, you know, the USTA and their mandate with the ROG and, you know, their suggestion that, well, they want numbers and they get more people involved. Well, I totally disagree with that. And what's going to get more people involved is supporting people like your guests who have a passion for tennis. You know, the kids will see the passion. It's infectious. And I think that's something that, you know, you can grow over a period of time. And I would much rather see the finances of the USTA and the support of the USTA go in those directions as opposed to, you know, some of the academies where they're, you know, kind of self-supported with, you know, the money that comes in. No, I absolutely agree with you. I think the passion for the game is something that you see that in any sport, by the way. If you have a good coach that has a passion for the game and a passion for the kids, you see a good program.
Without a doubt, and that is so well said. You know, we're talking about window dressing, surface things where it's not about facilities, just facilities. It's not just about equipment. It's not just about opportunity. It really is the passion of that individual, and it become a passionate endeavor. And we have to teach those things to our youngsters and pass them on. And to start, that has to be a given, and you cannot put a price tag on that. I have another call here, Barbara, if you don't mind. I've got to get your closing statements here in a few minutes, but I have a call from area code 803-331. Do you have a question for Barbara Jones? And Dan Vonk is on as well today, caller 803.
Chuck?
Yes.
Hey, this is Mark in Columbia. How are you doing today?
Mark, it's great. And listen, Barbara, Mark Hancock was about 4 weeks ago. And Mark, your quick story is that you were basically grew up as an offer foster child. And tennis was basically your way of becoming a player. Without tennis, you wouldn't have played. But you have a question for Barbara today about tennis.
Well, like Chuck said, I've come from that sort of background, and tennis sort of saved me and helped shape me and gave me life lessons on the tennis court, so I didn't have to make those mistakes in life as much. And I was wondering if there is a movement for peer mentorship, some of the more experienced kids under the guidance of an adult, sort of mentoring, learning how to teach, learning how to be an influence on others to maybe beginning players?
Well,
Barbara?
We don't have a structured program right now, but this past summer we had a summer tennis camp, and I was able to receive grant money to run this camp. We got a $1,200 grant from USTA, and it was for children who, quote, were high risk. And I mentioned earlier in the program that our residents here in St. George have a very low income. So it was a program that was affordable because we had the grant. And we utilized our children that were 16, 17, and 18-year-olds to help us with the children that were we only opened it to children between the ages of 5 and 10. And we utilize the quick start program that USTA has in place with the low compression ball. So they were able to work with those children, and it was marvelous to see how the youngsters looked up to the older kids, to the teenagers,
right,
and the joy that the teenagers got from being able to teach someone else something. And it was just marvelous. We did it from 8:30 in the morning until 12, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday for 2 weeks. And it was just awesome. It really was. And I'm hoping that we can continue that.
Thanks, Mark. And Mark brings up a big point there. The Serve It Back program is a program that was very successful up in College Park, Maryland, we used. And to Serve It Back, the way it worked, it was a three-tier mentoring. Everyone had a teacher, everyone had a student, everyone had someone that was their level peer. In other words, ideal mentoring happens not with two tiers. What happens with two tiers, the teacher gets worn out, the student becomes dependent. What you do is, if you have a 14-year-old, he could be mentored ideally by someone 16. The 14 himself has to mentor a 12-year-old, and that 14 has an accountability group of 14-year-olds. So everyone has a Paul, everybody has a Timothy, everybody has a Barnabas. Paul, Barnabas, Timothy. Everybody has a teacher, everybody has a student, everybody has their level. Boy, Barb, you're getting me excited here about this. Dan Valk, I've got a minute. I want Barbara to be able to have the last words here today. I do have one more question. Let's see. My other caller chimed out here. Let me see if area code. J.P. Weber, do you have one more quick question there? Area code 678. Do you have a quick question before?
Not a question. It's a comment. I think this is awesome. Stick with what you're doing, Barbara. You know, you start out small and keep going. There's a guy out in Arizona that started on a small thing. Jim Refkin, he started a Grand Prix kind of thing 25 years ago. It wasn't much, and now it's one of the premier things that's played in Arizona. I see the same thing happening here. I just read your thing. There's a great link to her, Coach Creasy, on the USGA site. I looked it up. It's great. I posted it to We Coach Tennis.
Look it up.
And
can you post it on the Facebook stuff and everything?
I just did. I just did, Barbara. I posted your stuff. It's amazing. Great story how you had to work with the people there in your local town to get the funding for it. So it's fantastic. Super. And I think Coach
Go to WeCoachTennis.com on the Facebook, We Coach Tennis, and you can see the link, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right,
thank
Dan Valk.
Thank you for doing this, lady.
Okay.
Coach
thank you,
and
Coach Weber. Dan
thank
Valk,
you.
Quick last word there, Coach Valk.
Hey, Chuck, I just want to point out that, I think you're right, but it takes a person with passion. I've coached high school tennis for 20 years here in Kingsland, and there were some programs that were real solid in high school when I started that have just fallen to nothingness right now, and it's because they used to have a passionate person in charge, and that coach left. So you got to have that person in the community. So that's the key, is people and passion.
More importantly, thank you, Coach Vonk. More importantly, we need the grooming of people with passion. That's why, Barbara, I've sort of put the challenge out there. Are you grooming younger coaches to come along? We need to try to get college youngsters, men and women, who have the love of tennis, who can go into a community and say, look, I'm going to work for Room, Board, and Experience this summer, and I want to dive in and make some things happen. Barbara, got 1 minute to go. Any quick last words there for people, how to get it started?
Well, my quick words are, first of all, dream, and dream big. Make a plan. Partner with people, because you cannot do it by yourself. And you can have the enthusiasm, but you need help. Know that it's going to be hard work. Have faith that it's going to happen. If you do those things, it will happen. And I'm just very excited about continuing to do the things that we are doing. And thank you so much for allowing me to share this with your listeners.
Well, we are the blessed ones to have you. And again, enthusiasm, hentheos, the Spirit of God within, and may he stay with you mightily as you work with these youngsters. Folks,
made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm, Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing and he can't. America.
Making them in America, please start with St. George. We want to see some great players coming out of there. Okay, we thank you for being on. Thank you very, very much for being on. Okay, folks, you're reminded that you are in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or loss. We thank Barbara Jones and so many people out there making them in America. Small Town Tennis, USA. We'll see you next week. American Tennis is Chuck Creasy.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.